continent a lot. Clear face. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any break come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father Death, kodwa mitsira nyimbo ya mbuku, nyimbo number 2. Mbale Death, nyimbo ya mbuku, number 2. We'll sing about the amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretched sinner, the lost one, the blind, but now I see.
Jesus, oh, joy, ah, we sad. Jandi, oh,
Wow.
our local dialect scripture reading will come from the book Acts chapter 3, verses 1 downwards, whereby Brother Austin Banda will lead Acts chapter 3.
Yes, chapter 3, verse 1. Koma Petro ndi Yohane anakwera kunka kukachisi pa bola la upembedza ndilo lachisanu ndi chinayi. Ndipo munthu wina wopunduka miyendo chibatwire ananyamulidwa amene ankamuyika onse pa khomo la kachisi lotchedwa lokongola kuti apembeza ulere kwa iwo akulowa mkachisi. Verse 3. Ameneyo pakuona Petro ndi Yohane akuti alowe mkachisi anapempha alandire chaulere. Ndipo Petulo popenyetsesa iye pamodzi ndi Yohane anati tiyang'ane ife. Ndipo iye anavomereza iwo nalingalira kuti adzalandira kanthu. Verse 6. Koma Petro anati siliva ndi golide ndilibe koma chimene ndili nacho ndichi. Ndikupatsa dzina la Yesu Khristu Nazareyo yenda. Ndipo anamugwira iye kudzanja lake lamanja namnyamusa so pomwepo mapazi ake ndi mfundo za kumapazi zidalimbikitsidwa. Verse 8. Ndipo anazunzuka nayimirira nayenda ndipo analowa pamodzi nawo mkachisi nayenda naluma nayamika Mulungu ndipo onse anamuona iye ali mkuyenda ndi kuyamika Mulungu. Verse 10. Namzindikira iye kuti ndiye amene anakhala pa khomo lokongola la kachisi ndipo anadzidzidwa ndi kutagwa ndi kusizwa chidamubwera. Koma amene anamgwira Petro ndi Yohane anathamangira pamodzi anthu onse ku khumbi lotchedwa la Solomo ali kudabwa ndithu. Koma mmene Petro anachiona anayankha kwa anthu, amuna inu Aisraeli muzizwa naye bwanji ameneyo kapena mutipenyesesa ife bwanji mungungati tinamuyendesa iye ndi mphamvu ya Israeli kapena ndi chipembedzo chathu. Verse 13. Mulungu wa Abrahamu ndi Isake ndi Yakobo Mulungu wa makolo athu analemekeza mwana wake Yesu amene inu mudampereka ndi kumukaniza kwa Pilato pomweruza iye mmasula. Verse 14. Koma inu munakaniza woyera ndi wamkuwa olungamayo ndipo munapempha kuti munthu wa mbanda apatsidwe kwa inu koma munamupha mkulu wa moyo amene Mulungu anamuukitsa kwa akufa. Za ichi ife tonse tili mboni. Ndipo pa chikhulupiriro cha dzina lake, dzina lakelo lilimbikisa iye amene mumuona ndi mumudziwa. Ndipo chikhulupiriro chili mwa iye chinamupatsa kuchita kwonse kumeneku pamaso pa inu nonse. Ndipo tsopano abale, ndidziwa kuti munachita musadziwa mumpaso akulu anu koma zimene Mulungu analalikiratu mkamwa mwa aneneri onse kuti adzamva kuwawa wa Khristu iye anakwanitsa chotero. 19. Chifukwa chake Labani bwererani kuti akufanizidwe machimo anu kotero kuti zidze nyengo kutimuka kuchokera ku nkhope ya Ambuye. Po atume amene anayikidwa kwa inu Khristu Yesu amene thambo lakumwamba liyenera kumulandira kufikira nthawi zakukonzanso zinthu zonse zimene Mulungu analankhulira za izo mgamo mwa aneneri ake oyera chiyambiye. 22. Mosetu anati mbuye Mulungu anaukitsira inu mneneri mwa abale anu ngati ine muzamvere iye zinthu zilizonse akalankhule nanu. 23. Ndipo kutsari kuti pamoyo aliyense samvera mneneri ameneyu adzasakazidwa konse mwa anthu koma angakhale aneneri onse kuyambira Samueli ndi akumutsatira onse amene analankhula analalikira za masiku. 25. Inu ndinu ana aneneri ndi apanganolo Mulungu anapangana ndi makolo anu ndi kunena kwa Abrahamu
Dibi dibi sare mumwe mumwe masi ndipo masiwo zonde kati mamo sindi kugenti mamo sindi indi ipindi tetu chito sanga zonse sisi kundwele zai wabandika kwele zaki ndikari la somisi zose sisi kwana koma Yesu yekayo manja Mwanga chabe Tanda Ndiko wila Kuma mali Seche mfekene Giri Eka msungene Kuma nita Wile zinche Munde Toke tima Kuma moyo Uno kuhusi kuhusi. E nabe imari dhatu. Koma ndikufe. Ika kwa nuko. Chihona. Nema soo. Tatwe. Kumambi katu. Ibisa. Kale mwe. Chito. Tanga zose so, sisi kongonwele zaini, ikazi, sifili zadi, ikali, ilasonizi, zose so, sisi kwa nasi, koma Yesu yeka. Brother Stifford Feston from Msanje, look to God in prayer before Brother Ken pick the microphone and start preaching. Brother Stifford.
Utengo, galwe makuma tu, galwe esu, kakari kukubisa nishiku, kutila mutamu vyana. Kwa hivyo, kabe mpia, amen.
Amen. Now is the time for the Lord to speak to his own people. Let me ask Brother Ken, fellow servant of the Lord, served by grace, without his good works contributed to preach to his fellow sinners that has been saved by his grace with the uncompromising message. Brother Ken.
Let's take our Bibles once again and look in Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to pick back up where we left off last time from verse 8. Down to verse 16, and I want to speak with you about the righteousness of faith.
Musimu ndipo tukakhala tikuyangana pa mutu wa chikhulupiriro.
That expression, the righteousness of faith, is taken from verse 13 of our text, where Paul by the Spirit writes, for the promise, that is the promise of God to Abraham and to all of his elect in Christ, that he should be the heir of the world, it was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. There are many that we encounter today throughout the world who think that their believing or their faith is what constitutes them righteous before God. When it says here in verse 13 that the promise of God for salvation was not through the law, in other words, any personal obedience to the law, but through the righteousness of faith, it's describing faith's righteousness. How do we know that Christ has been revealed in the heart of a sinner except for that righteousness that they profess? Is it in themselves or is it in the finished work of Christ alone? As I've said before, where you see the word faith here, put the name of Christ, because faith is the revelation of Christ, who he is and what he accomplished. And so when it says there in verse 13, the promise is not through the law, any personal obedience, but through the righteousness of Christ. That's what faith declares, the righteousness that Christ came and earned and established and God approved upon completion of his death at the cross. So if I encounter somebody that tells me they are a Christian, and I ask them, well, on what basis do you say that? And they tell me that they received Christ, they made their decision, and for that reason they believe that God has saved them, that is not the righteousness of faith. That is not the language of faith. That's a false hope. But if someone were to answer, and this is the righteousness of faith, and say, there is nothing in me by which I could ever be righteous before God, but it's by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone that I look to Christ as my faith. That's the righteousness of faith. There are none that will ever be declared righteous before God on any other reason than the blood shed of the Lord Jesus Christ and that righteousness that he earned and established and God approved. It's not through personal obedience or through personal believing, or certainly not by a man's supposed free will, which is what 99.999% of those that profess to be Christian today hold and believe. That means that the majority of the world today that professes to be Christian, whether they're in Malawi or here in the United States or no matter where that name is used, they are still in a lost state without God and without Christ and without hope.
Kuimbira lambiri la watu kuno ku Malawi ngakaleso ku America limanena kuti lidavomereza lidamulandira Yesu lidanamizidwa ndikondirabotsa zotsatira zake gulu limene lijalo lidapatsidwa khungu iwala khungu kale ndipo samadziwa kena kalikonse kauthenga wabwino ndasadza kuopsheni mzungu ayi.
This is what is of great concern to me, even for you gathered there as preachers, because you are gathered and you are here to hear this message of the gospel, and yet it may be among us that some of you have never been lost. You have never been shown your wretched state of condemnation. You came into a profession, and now you're sitting there trying to preach a message that has not been taught to your heart. How can we teach others the truth as it is in Christ if we still are holding on to a false faith, a false profession, and now we're just trying to learn what we need to say? That's not preaching. I believe it has been now 14 years since the Lord first caused me to preach the gospel there in Malawi. And I can tell you, I have seen a lot of preachers come and go. Ones that first began and thought this message is what needs to be preached. And yet, over time, they have withdrawn themselves and returned to their vomit. They've returned like dogs to the vomit, to that religion out of which they were first supposedly delivered, because their heart had never been taught by Christ. I mentioned in the beginning that you have more gathered there in your room right now than what I could gather here in the United States as far as preachers that the Lord has taught of the faith and the righteousness of faith, that righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ earned and established and God imputed there at the cross. I couldn't gather 10 preachers. Most will talk about election. They'll talk about God's sovereign grace. They'll talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet when it comes to righteousness, and you were to ask them, well, when was this righteousness imputed to the account of God's elect? Their answer will be when they believe. That's the common teaching. It's when you believe. If any answer that way, that means that they remain untaught by the Spirit of God and have not yet, by God's mercies and grace, been taught of that righteousness of faith. In other words, that righteousness to which faith looks, which is Christ and his accomplished work at Calvary. It was done even before any of us knew anything about it. When the Lord comes by his Spirit and opens this heart to hear of Christ, our eyes look to the cross. They look to what Christ accomplished and not to our believing or our faith. So this comes back then to what Paul was showing by Abraham and David. They were not saved in a different way than any that are saved today. They are saved based upon the work of Christ and their sin being imputed to him when he came in the flesh.
Mukozi wakaona mene hada la mkulira Davide kumansu Abraham. kuti adala nkula kuti sizimba chokera kunchito zathu ai koma kuchimene Yesu adachita kuchitira munthu wochimwa osankhidwa.
That's why verse 8 says, and this is the words that were given to David, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David lived before Christ had come and died, and yet he lived under the forbearance of God, that God would not impute to him his sin, because God had purposed already to impute it or put it to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ when Christ would come and pay the debt.
Ndichifaya verse 8 amene kuti wodala munthu amene Mulungu samwerengera uchimo. Urandauza kuti pamene munthu adapezeka wotsutsika ndi wochimwa, Yesu pamene amabwera mdziko lapansi kamufera, adamchotsera uchimo wake iyeyo asadabadwe nikazindikira kukachita uchimo. Ndiyeno Mulungu adamchotsera nkumkhululukira. Atamkhululukira sikuti amagawura kumulimbikitsa iye kuti azichita machimo ayi, koma kuti amakaona kuti ntchito ya chipulumutso
were righteousness based upon personal obedience, David could never have hoped for salvation. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer, just like all of us. So he wasn't looking to personal obedience, but looking to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take that sin and pay the sin debt on his behalf.
Ukanakhala kuti chipulumutso chagona pa ntchito za munthu, Davide sakadapulumuka. Mukamayang'ana mumbiri ndi kukhalidwe ya Davide, adalanda mkazi wa munthu, kupha munthu, adali wachigololo, adali woyipa, palibe kabwino kamene mkozoloza kumkhalidwe wa Davide, koma Mulungu adamukhululukira nkumpatsa chifundo chake. Mmenemo ndimene Mulungu amakhululukira ndi kupulumutsira anthu ake ochimwa.
But now, lest anybody should think that, well, he was a Jew and therefore favored before God, he says in verse 9, the scriptures say, cometh this blessedness, what? The blessedness of God not imputing sin to our account. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? That word circumcision refers to the Jew, or upon the uncircumcised also, that is, the Gentiles also. He says, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for, that word for means unto righteousness, unto that righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and fulfill on his behalf.
Kapena kwa osadulidwa omwe, pakuti timati chikhulupiro chachi chidawerengedwa kwa Abrahamu chilungamo.
There again, when it says that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, faith being that body of truth concerning Christ and his death, that was reckoned to Abraham by the revelation of the Spirit for or unto, that's what that word means, unto righteousness, unto the righteousness that Christ would come and fulfill.
Munthu akakhululukidwe machimo ake kuti ndi Yesu kufera munthu wochimwa adazivumbulutsiratu izi kwa Abrahamu kuti azizindikire kodi kuti Abrahamu pokhulupira zimenezo kuti ndi Yesu yekha wochotsa tchimo kwa iyeyo kudawerengedwa chilungamo.
So if we were to ask Abraham, how were you declared righteous before God? He would be the first to tell you that it wasn't for anything in him, but it was unto that righteousness, the obedience of Christ and his death, to which Abraham looked. Christ himself said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced.
Abraham
So there in verse 9, as through all this chapter, the Spirit of God is declaring that faith's righteousness, any that are of the faith, have as their righteousness one righteousness alone, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary by his shedding of his blood unto death. Now here's the important question then in verse 10 as we transition into today's text. It asks this question, how was it then reckoned? Is it referring back to verse 9, faith? How is faith reckoned? Another way of asking the question is, how is it that any of us know anything of Christ and him crucified today? Is it based upon anything in us? And the answer is no. You see, the Jews boasted in their circumcision because that was the sign given to Abraham that his seed should be set apart from the world, physical circumcision. And so the Jews based their hope of salvation on that circumcision, like people might base it on a profession of faith today, or they might base it on baptism or some other work. But Paul answers the question with a question. He says, how was it then reckoned to Abraham when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And then he says, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, when Abraham was not yet circumcised, God called him and revealed Christ in him. His circumcision had nothing to do with it. You see, when God first called Abraham, he was an idolater. He was from Syria when God called him. He was not even a Jew. And so Paul is expressing here that being a Jew is not what makes you righteous before God. Being raised in a so-called Christian family does not make you righteous before God.
Kwa
Verse 11 tells us that he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. In other words, it wasn't that Abraham was a Jew and therefore God gave him the sign of circumcision. No, he being yet uncircumcised, yet by the grace of God, that faith that declares God's righteousness in Christ was revealed in him, that his hope might be in Christ and not in anything in himself.
Chimene chimaonekera kuti Ayuda adali chotsita mandira ndipo apaona kuti kudulidwa kumene kumuntu kumapaka kukhala olungama ndi olandirika pamaso pa Mulungu ne avakaonetsera kuti iyeyo adakhala olungama asanadulidwe chimene chikuimira Yesu Khristu amene adapulumutsa munthu ndipo samayang'anira mdulidwe koma amayang'anira kusankhidwa kuchokera pachiyambi.
And you can see in verse 11, he continues that he might be the father of all them that believe. When it says the father, he is the example of any to whom God grants this faith to believe, and that is that their righteousness is not in themselves, but in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone.
Imene akuti ndipo iye analandira chizindikiro cha mdulidwe ndicho chosindikiza chilungamo chechikhulupiriro chomwe iye anali nacho asanadulidwe kuti kotero iye akhale kholo la onse akukhulupirira angakhalewo amene sanakhulupirire kuti chilungamo chiwerengedwe kwa iwonso. Chimene akuonetsera apa nchonena kuti sikuti chakhazikika pa ntchito za munthu kapena chifukwa anadulidwa ayi koma chilungamo chachikhulupiriro chidayambika mdulidwe usadayambike kodi mdulidwe udabwera kukangotsindika kuti kulungamitsidwa kumapita kwa munthu mopanda ntchito zake za munthu zabwino zimene wachita.
Notice there in verse 11, though they be not circumcised. You see, the Jews had the view that if one was to be a child of God, they had to physically be circumcised in order to be accepted. And Paul is saying, no, the righteousness of God is not imputed because someone is a Jew, though they be not circumcised. The Gentiles, it doesn't require anything for them to be considered a child of God other than that righteousness imputed or put to their account by God when Christ paid the debt.
Chimene chikuonekera yamba nchakuti Ayuda adali chotsita mandira amuona ngati popeza mdulidwe adaperekedwa kwa iwo munthu akadulidwa amfana amakhala olungama nde amakawa yankha kuti kulungamitsidwa kudabwera kudulidwa kusadabwere kodwa kuti kudula sikumapanga munthu kukhala olungama ayi ndi mwambo chabe wa wanthu odula khungu la thupi la munthu koma sizimakhudza chipulumutso cha munthu ayi.
There's another side thought here that we need to consider, because who were circumcised except for the male children? So if salvation were in circumcision, what would be then the state of women? It would mean then that no woman could ever have any hope of salvation, which is ridiculous.
Chagona pamdulidwe musaiwa aletu mdulidwe amapanga anthu amuna samajanda azimayi alibe pojandira ndiyengati mudanena kuti chipulumutso chiupita kuchabwera pa chando pokhapokha ndikuti mufuna tandazani kumwamba azimayi sakalowako chifukuti alibe pochanda.
So you can see in verse 12 why Abraham is called the father of faith. It says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, notice, being yet uncircumcised. Abraham was not circumcised until years after the Lord had brought him from the land of Ur into the promised land. But all that time, he was the Lord's. You see, Abraham is called the father in verse 11 of all them that believe, all those to whom the Spirit of God grants faith to look to Christ alone, have Abraham as their father. In other words, he is the example. He's the head. Like you have a head of a family. He is the representation. Just how he was declared righteous is how all are declared righteous for whom Christ came and paid the debt. And he concludes there in verse 13, the word for is a conclusion, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. How was Abraham the heir of the world? In his seed, which is Christ, who is the heir of the world, that it was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, through any personal obedience to the law, but, here it is again, through the righteousness of faith, or the righteousness that the revelation of faith declares, and that is Christ and him crucified. And again, the conclusion in verse 14, if they which are of the law be heirs. In other words, if it is by one's personal obedience to the law that sinners become heirs of salvation. Notice what it says, faith is made void. Quit talking about the grace of God then. Quit talking about that faith which declares Christ and him crucified to be salvation. And the promise made of none effect, the promise of Christ. Why would Christ have needed to come were it that sinners are declared righteous by their own personal obedience to the law? You can't have both. It's like one preacher told me one time, he said, well, I try to preach a little bit of law and a little bit of grace. That way I've covered all the bases.
Nani ndi wina ake sola likira manda kuti aika. Yoro umafunika usalikira kuka chiramulo pang'ono. Achisoma pang'ono. Ukaphatikizo dzapa ngathu amirundi wina zikhala pa malopo.
That's a person that has never been taught by the Spirit of the righteousness of faith, the righteousness that faith declares, which takes it completely out of our hands and lays it completely upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 makes it very plain. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't mix and mingle the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, or one's personal obedience to the law, notice, then Christ is dead in vain. You make the death of the Lord Jesus Christ of none effect. No, in Romans 4:13-14, it's stating very plainly that the righteousness of faith, that righteousness that God's faith declares, is the very righteousness of God that shows that that righteousness of God was established by the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted and imputed by God to all of the elect, Jew or Gentile, in one all-inclusive act at the cross. Now look at verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. If anybody thinks that they're going to be declared righteous before God by any personal obedience, all that the law can work is wrath. It can only condemn. It can never save. This is a message that needs to be declared today, that every effort of man to satisfy God's law and that thinks that somehow by their personal obedience or by their personal decision, they will be declared righteous before God. All that that can work is the wrath of God. That's all they can know is the wrath of God. But look at the other side of this, where it says there in verse 15, it says, first of all, the law worketh wrath. So we know that's not the way of salvation. But look here, where no law is, there is no transgression. So you stop and think, whoa, where no law is? Well, that must apply to those for whom Christ has paid the debt. And having paid that debt and satisfied the law and justice of God, there is no more law that stands against any for whom Christ paid the debt. It's finished. So verse 15 is telling us clearly that any who seek by their own efforts to satisfy God's law, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27, there remains only a fearful looking for of his judgment and fiery indignation. But the second part of verse 15 tells us plainly that where God's justice has been satisfied, there is no law to condemn, and therefore no transgression for which to condemn. Why? Because Christ paid it all. You see, this is the righteousness of faith. This is the righteousness that faith believes, and that is that when Christ died, he satisfied completely the holy law of God, paying the price by his death, and therefore all transgression is removed because the law was fulfilled, and therefore his people justified because of it. That's the message that the Lord gives us, his preachers, to declare, that the righteousness of God has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ completely upon his death at the cross for everyone that God has purposed to save. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 confirms what Paul is writing here in verse 15, that where no law is, there is no transgression. It's not saying God just set aside his law to save sinners, but it's telling us he fulfilled it in the death of his son. And so, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, Romans 8:34, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Aloma chapter 8, verse 15, ya 34, amagaya anka verse 15, ya Aloma 4. Mene mana kuti, ndana zawa tuta, Christ Jesus ndiye amene adafera. Inde maga maga ndiye amene ada ukakwa kufa. Amene so akalabatsa njalama njalama mungu. Amene so adipemfenera ife.
And so the conclusion, at least for today, in verse 16 of Romans 4, it says, therefore it is of faith. That's not personal faith, but it is of that faith revealed in the gospel, that it might be by what? Grace. That's the sum of it. Everything that concerns our righteousness before God in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is grace. Grace alone. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise, that promise given to Abraham of that seed, which is Christ, might be sure to all the seed, whether Jew or Gentile, not to that only which is of the law, that is the Jew, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Where did Abraham's faith look but to Christ and that death that he would accomplish on his behalf? And therefore, he is the father of us all. That's how he is the father. He's the example of any that God saves. It's going to be in the same way through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ by grace alone. You see, there's the law of works, which can only condemn, but here he's describing the law of faith that says that Christ took the sinner's place and therefore bore all that sinner's sin away in his death. If any want to go back to the law of works, then the law demands perfect obedience. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ had to live a perfect life to answer to that law. That's why there's no hope there for any sinner. But the law of faith declares that Christ satisfied the law of works, and that being satisfied and the sin being purged for his people, God immediately and without delay declared each one for whom Christ paid the debt to be satisfied, to be justified from any works of the law, any condemnation. That was Abraham's faith. That's the righteousness of faith. The righteousness that faith declares is the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ himself earned and established and God imputed once for all to those for whom he died.
Lamulo la chikulubiriro linda kwanilisa lamulo lanchito.
For those who are still in darkness, this very gospel, which is for us a comfort, is going to be for them an affront. They'll be offended because it leaves no room for man and his personal obedience. But for those, just like Abraham, taught of God, they rejoice because they see that their salvation has been fully, completely accomplished in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as preachers, unless God has granted us this same faith of Abraham, that faith that has Christ's righteousness as its object, I'll tell you, we'll stand condemned right along with those to whom we preach. Well, we're going to stop there for today. I pray the Lord will be our teacher and cause us to rejoice in Christ and Christ alone. I'll turn it back to you.
Amen. God be all the glory and honor because this tremendous time the Lord gave us. To conclude with brother, late brother Austin Banda to lead us a song that gives praise and honor to his name, the name of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Psalm number 57, which says, to you, Jesus Christ, I cry. Unless thou save me, I must die.
Amen.
Oh, bring thy salvation nigh to me. Just take me as I am.
Gracious Father, I thank you for this time together in your word. Oh, the depth of what we read and how beyond our comprehension it is, unless you give us your spirit to see that the righteousness of faith is that righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ earned and established, and you imputed once for all to the account, the spiritual account of sinners for whom Christ died. And what a blessed, glorious truth to know that having finished the work, paid the debt, there is no law that can stand against anyone for whom he died. There is no sin that remains for you to condemn. It has been put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed, glorious, good news gospel this is. And so I pray that it would be, first of all, our rejoicing, as you have taught us, but also it might be the rejoicing of those for whom we preach. And you know those that are yours. You know those that, like Abraham, you have called out and revealed in them this glorious truth. And you will make it evident in your time. So I pray for the travel of these that have come and gathered and now go back. I pray for your word as it goes forth to your glory and honor. And I pray that you would strengthen and encourage each one. And for that, we give you the thanks, praise, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.